Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 10th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our one of two, and the goal is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Live, on-demand radio and archives, all available at libertyroundtable.com. If you have the heart to help donate today, would you please? Also, lovingliberty.net is a great place to go for incredible talk shows around the clock. Okay, quick recap of Saturday's show. As you know, we are on the air 6 days a week, 2 hours a day, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. I had on our buddy, the good sheriff, Richard Mack, with me for 2 hours on Saturday. And we talked about that Ammon Bundy video that we played. I think it was on Friday. Incredible video from Ammon Bundy. And I was talking to Richard Mack about how what a peaceful man Ammon Bundy is. And what a treasure he is to have in our country. You know, a guy that was abused by the government, the judge threw out the case saying, you know what, the FBI lied and withheld evidence. A guy who went to jail, he sat there for 2 years at the end of it. They said he was guilty of nothing. Not only the jury in the Oregon case, but in Nevada, the judge just threw the case out and said the government's just dishonest. Nobody going to jail from the government side for their abuses and their lies and their withholding of evidence. Anyway, if a man has any right to be angry and call for a war, it would be Ammon Bundy. And Ammon Bundy put together an incredible video celebrating the 2 years of his release from prison. And he was not full of anger. He was full of humility and full of faith and full of, in my opinion, honor and integrity. And he wasn't hate-filled, but he did oppose tyranny. But what a tremendous man. Anyway, I contrasted that with the good Sheriff Richard Mack. And, they're putting Greta Thunberg, this 17-year-old climate activist, up for a Nobel Peace Prize. And I think what a shame that is. She's just full of anger and hate and attacking and accusatory behavior. And I compared her with Ammon Bundy. And so Sam Bushman publicly calls for Ammon Bundy to be nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, this guy really deserves it. And just imagine if the media would talk about it and they would really focus on his case and really focus on our right to land and really focus on the reason Ammon did what he did, agree or disagree with what he did, but how humble and how peaceful and how patient and how kind and how faith-filled and hope-filled and Ammon really is, even after the wrongs committed against him and his dear family. Anyway, they say a huge number of Americans are satisfied with their personal lives. They say up to 90%. And I kind of wonder how that's true with all the drug addiction and abuse and pornography and suicide and problems people have. And Richard reminded me that people on drugs and people doing pornography, temporarily, they feel happy, don't they? Well, if we want true happiness, folks, we need to obey the Ten Commandments. That's a fundamental blueprint for obeying God's laws and receiving his blessings. It is a societal reality that the Ten Commandments is one of the great keys. You know, I propose we push for true happiness. Anyway, that was 1 hour with the good sheriff. Second hour, we talked about after acquittal, Donald Trump jokes about being president for life. On one hand, I get the joke mocking the Democrats. On the other hand, I say, you know what? Don't even joke about that kind of stuff. We have the rule of law and the peaceful transfer of power in America, folks. Hillary Clinton, quote, VP possibility, you ask? Never say never, but she tells Ellen she doesn't think it's going to happen. Just imagine announcing your political intent through Ellen, of all people, huh? Donald Trump Jr., quote, Mitt Romney is my favorite Democrat. Oh, what a sad tale to tell we have in Utah, huh? What a shame, Mitt Romney. Disappointed, sir. We also talked about a front-runner competition between Pete, Mayor Cheat, they call him, and Bernie Sanders. So Mayor Cheater Socialist, what do you want? And I'll tell you what I find interesting about this. They say Senator Bernie Sanders doubling down and saying we have a racist society from top to bottom. I don't see it that way, Bernie. I know you're trying to do that to get votes and divide people, but it isn't worth your effort because Americans are realizing we're not all racists and haters. Yeah, we have inbred biases and things like that. We're all human. Blacks have it. Whites have it. Whenever there's a difference in someone, anybody who's different, we tend to, you know, look at that with skepticism and concern and worry and confusion, and oftentimes we don't know how to respond to it properly. That's no doubt. Biden's nowhere to be found in New Hampshire. At least that was the case Thursday and Friday as his numbers continue to crater. So Joe Biden just melting down and striking out blindly to see what he can do to change the game. Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, stood up behind the Donald and ripped up the presidential speech. Now they're trying to suggest that she's not allowed to do that. They want to censor her or something like that. Bogus. She has every right to do it, as shameful as it was. Pelosi demands Twitter and Facebook take down the video of her ripping up Donald's speech, saying it misrepresents her intent. Senators are requesting travel records for Hunter Biden. Do you think we'll get to the bottom of that? I don't think so for a second. Glenn Beck unveils money laundering scheme linked to Biden and Burisma. Maria Ivanovich says that our democracy is at risk. My response, glad we don't have a democracy, Marie. Andrew Napolitano, in my opinion, running off the rails. He explained how President Donald Trump legally could be impeached again. And then he goes on, quote Napolitano, the president is clearly guilty of the impeachment charges. May be true, Napolitano. I don't have all the intel that everybody has. That might be true. The problem is you got to prove it, and the House did not get that done, sir. Okay, the burden of proof is on the government. Remember, innocent until proven guilty, Judge? Your Honor, I don't mean to be offensive, but look, that's the key. They didn't prove any guilt. They just said he has these big, vague charges, and now they're claiming that Donald Trump, well, the double jeopardy clause doesn't apply to him either. Have you lost your mind? Just because you become president, that doesn't mean you lose the protection from double jeopardy. But, of course, me and Napolitano certainly do not see things the same. All right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place Saturday. It is available online at libertyroundtable.com. Share the word, tell the tale, donate if you have the heart to help. I'd be grateful for that if you would. Now, I find this interesting, though. We're acting like Pete, Mayor Cheat, and Bernie Sanders are top of the book. Biden and Kerry melting down, no doubt about it. But remember, here's what's interesting. We allow New Hampshire and Iowa to be the two, quote, bellwether states to determine what's going on. We start with Iowa. It was a disaster, as you know. I believe it was intentional. Kirk Crosby's words for it, deja vu, because they did this to Bernie in 16, and, well, they're kind of doing it to Bernie again. And you could say, what? Bernie's on top, Sam. Well, maybe. Unless you let him be a flash in the pan front runner because of the fiasco, and then you say, well, now we're going to have solid results without the fiasco going forward. Thank heavens we're back on track, and Bernie's behind, see? Time will tell what's going to happen with all that, but the reason that I bring it up right now is this. Iowa's only got about 3 million people in it, a little over, 3.2 million people. That's about the size of Utah, folks. Okay? And New Hampshire's even way smaller than that. New Hampshire's only got like 1.3 million people in it. So when you add 3.2 and 1.3, I get 4.4. You're not even talking about 5 million people between those first two, quote, front-runner states, right? And then when you add Nevada to it, Nevada's not that big either. I mean, even after the first two or three or four or five states, you're talking about a very small sliver of America. When you look at Iowa and New Hampshire together, they're not even 3% of the nation, not even close. When you talk about Iowa alone, it's not even 1%. Let's see, 3.2 million in Iowa, 320 million in the nation. It's like 1% at best. When you put even the first couple of front-runner states together, we're not talking about a significant number of people to be a bellwether at all. And then when you take the fact that a significant number of Americans don't even vote, and then you take the fact from a significant number of that is are independents, then you take from that a significant number are Republicans, you're playing games with the electorate over a sliver. You're 1% at best, even if you take the first 2, 3, 4, 5 front-runner states, or, quote, lead states, whatever you call them. We need to change the way we go about this in America, folks. Then we play games with caucuses and we manipulate the results. One lady votes for Mayor Cheat, for example. This is a big old scandal. And then she finds out he's got a male husband or whatever, and she freaks and asks for her vote back. I mean, this is the kind of stuff we're dealing with. All right, without further ado, News the Networks Refuse to Use starts now. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org with us. Welcome back, sir.
Thanks for having me back, gentlemen. It's good to be with you.
All right, the headline says the gulag was more murderous than Hitler's camp. Eric Markless writes the piece, incredible column, but here's the problem. The second you bring up the truth, Lowell, you're dubbed a Holocaust denier. And the sad part about it is we're not denying the Holocaust whatsoever, ladies and gentlemen. I don't believe it says the government told us, but I have no doubt it happened. I have personal people that I know who have told me about it, so I know a lot of it happened. I don't believe the details are as we're told, but I do agree with this incredible column by Eric Markless, which basically says the gulag or the gulag was more murderous than Hitler's camp. And it's true. Let's drill into it, Lowell.
Thank you, Sam. His point really is that the gulag system of Russia was far worse than Hitler's concentration camps. And, of course, in making that statement, he's not minimizing the horrors of Hitler's concentration camps. He's simply bringing out the fact that the Russian gulag was worse than Hitler's camp.
And the fact is, he even highlights that he's not minimizing that at all, and that's not a takeaway. The goal is to put things in perspective. We'll do just that in a second. The Lowell Nelson Campaign for Liberty.org on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, incredible column by Eric Markless. Breaking it down is Lowell Nelson. The gulag was more murderous than Hitler's camps, sir.
Well, Sam, for instance, he mentions two or three names here that I had never heard. Sam, here I am. I'm 62 years old. Never heard of a place called Kolyma. K-O-L-Y-M-A, Kolyma or Kolyma. How about Magadan? Magadan. How about the White Sea Canal? What about the Vorkuta? Vorkuta? I've never heard of these places, Sam. And if you do a simple search on Wikipedia, you'll see that, like Kolyma, for example, is that way up in the northern, northeast chunk of Russia. It's frozen tundra. It's where millions of political prisoners were sent to die to labor in camps. They would last about 3 months before dying. And you know, this is the type of history that's not told. And so one has to ask himself, why isn't this history told? Why don't we learn about this? Everybody learned about Hitler, and I agree that that was a horrendous time and a shameful time in Germany for Hitler to do that to the Jewish people, no question. But why haven't we heard about what Trotsky did with political prisoners in the Soviet Gulag? And why haven't we heard about Stalin's regime and the damage that he did? We have just vague references to these horrendous things going on, and so we ask the question, why? And Eric answers this question in this incredible column posted at lewrockwell.com. Sam, he says that the Allies were ashamed of having been allied to a regime far more murderous and cruel than the Third Reich. So Stalin's crimes were played down, while Hitler's were accentuated and endlessly repeated. End of quote. To me, Sam, that really is a reasonable explanation as to why our history books play up Hitler's atrocities, but play down Stalin's and Trotsky's atrocities, because we were allied with Russia in World War II against Germany, right? And so we have to play down the atrocities of our friends and neighbors, our allies, right? And so why do I mention this today, Sam? Well, it's because the U.S. regime today, currently, right now, has allied with several powers in the Middle East who are committing horrendous atrocities. The U.S. regime, along with the lamestream media, they don't want you to know about them. They don't want you to know that Saudi Arabia is continuing its bombing of Yemen with our support, with our armaments, our munitions. The U.S. is blockading the port city of Hodeidah, which prevents the flow of food, water, medical supplies, and other commodities into the country, where hundreds of people, Sam, are dying from cholera and other illnesses because they don't have access to these medical supplies, to food, to clean water, and so forth. And the mainstream media doesn't want us to know that. The U.S. regime doesn't want us to know that, because then they would hear an outcry, an outpouring of sentiment of the American people against what the U.S. is doing and to help Saudi Arabia kill these people. If our fellow citizens, if they knew how much damage we're doing in other countries and around the world, how many people we were responsible for killing, I think we'd have a sea change of sentiment here among the people, and that would affect who's in Congress, and I believe we could actually stop this atrocity from happening around the world.
But you know what? That relates to having the truth in the media where people can understand what's really going on. Most people, you know what, don't understand. They hear we killed a terrorist today. And if you're not really knowledgeable about what's going on around the world, and that we are in 130-plus nations militarily, and that we spend so much money on the military, and we become the military-industrial complex primary provider, if you will, that, you know, you don't understand our positioning in the world and the history, then you just kind of think, well, I'm glad they stopped the bad guy today. The problem is the disconnect between the reality of what we're doing and the situation. For example, how much money have we spent in these wars in our lifetimes? Right?
Well over $1 trillion, Sam. I think it's like $1 trillion. I think the defense budget, so-called military budget, was $750 billion, in other words, three-fourths of $1 trillion, per year for the past, 5 or 10 years, Sam. I think it's that high.
All right. And Trump just sent a trillion?
A trillion.
Okay, yeah, $4.8 trillion budget. Is that 1 year?
1 year, yep.
And how much does that have in it for the military?
Almost 1 trillion. It's not quite
okay.
a trillion.
So when we say that a trillion has been spent on this, I mean, I don't even know how to compare. I'd have to go back and put a chart together and really figure it out. But in my lifetime, since 1967, you got to include most of Vietnam, all the way through, and you're talking so many trillion dollars, I don't even know how to count. All on what? Is it the defense of the greatest country on the face of the earth? On the face of the earth? Is it truly defense? Or is it warmongering? Is it the provocateur agent? Is it the military-industrial complex gone psychotic? $1 trillion for war this year alone? We spend more than the next several nations combined. And we're, what, just getting started, Lowell, it seems?
Seems that way.
Do you want to respond to this, Kurt?
Well, Sam, I mean, the military-industrial complex is alive and well, and you got to just remember it's good for the economy, don't you know?
Job.
Well, and believe it or not, that's what they literally say about it. And I'm just kind of ignorant, but I'm thinking, what do you mean the economy? I'm not interested in the economy. I'm interested in peace.
Yeah, you know, you're right, Sam. I'm fond of that one interview between Wolf Blitzer and Rand Paul when Rand is saying the same things you and I are saying, and Wolf Blitzer replies and says, well, what about the jobs? What about all the revenue that we'd be losing if we didn't sell these armaments to Saudi Arabia and Qatar and all these Middle Eastern allies of Saudi Arabia? It's a sad commentary.
Now, they say Trump's $4.8 trillion budget likely to get thumbs down from Congress. And you know what? I'm not really agreeing with the Democrats, but I'm having to say I'd give it a thumbs down, too.
Yeah.
Why? Not because I agree with the Democrats, but because at what point do we determine we're spending way too much? Now, we got to talk about bring home the troops. That was Donald's campaign message, right?
It sure was, Sam. I don't have the audio for it, but in his speech, I guess it was 2019 State of the Union address, so just 1 year ago, he said, it's time for us to get out of these ridiculous, endless wars, many of them tribal, and bring our soldiers home. We were supposed to be in Syria for 30 days, he says. We've now been there for 10 years. We were supposed to be in Afghanistan for a short period of time. We're now going to be there close to 19 years. It's time to bring them home. We're not fighting, we're policing. The U.S. has spent $8 trillion in the Middle East. We've lost thousands of brave soldiers and tens of thousands of terribly wounded people. We're going to bring our soldiers home. I mean, that's what he said a year ago, Sam. And I applaud what he said, but his actions hasn't followed his words, unfortunately. And that's what's sad. He has the right instincts. He wants to bring the troops home, but he hasn't got it done yet. And so there was a gentleman who formed a website called bringourtroopshome.us, and I recommend that people visit this website and take a look at what these gentlemen are doing, because they are putting pressure on the general government to bring our troops home in a way that, well, you wouldn't expect that to happen. For example, last week in Wyoming, following what West Virginia did several years ago, there's a representative there named Tyler Lindholm. Along with a bipartisan coalition of 14 representatives and senators, they filed House Bill 98. They're going to introduce that legislation today, this very day, February 10th, 2020. And they're basically, it's HB 98, and it's going to be referred to a committee. But basically, it's Defend the Guard Act. Defend the Guard. Basically, it says that the Wyoming National Guard units may not be called into active combat duty if or unless there is a congressional declaration of war. Right? That's in our Blueprint for Liberty, Sam. The U.S. Constitution says the Congress shall have the power to declare war. They can't just go there because the president wants them to, right, Sam?
BringOurTroopsHome.us is the website to check out. Let's talk about this more. It's worth our time, ladies and gentlemen. Do we promote war or we pretend to advocate for peace? Over $700 billion this year alone for the military-industrial complex in a $4.8 trillion budget. Are you kidding me?
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
In New York City, a man's facing attempted murder charges in connection with two separate attacks on NYPD officers over the weekend. Police say Robert Williams walked into the 41st NYPD precinct in the Bronx and opened fire yesterday morning. Less than 12 hours earlier, on East 163rd Street, they say he opened fire directly into a police van, striking and injuring one of the two officers inside. Police Commissioner Dermot Shea says anti-police sentiment and demonstrations against police don't help.
And you have to be careful about the words you use, because words matter, and words affect people's behavior.
The Oscars last night, the Korean drama Parasite wins Best Picture, Joaquin Phoenix Best Actor for his performance in The Joker, and Renee Zellweger for Best Actress in Judy. And this is USA Radio News.
If you're thinking about life insurance, from low-cost term to business or estate coverage, or perhaps a small policy to cover your final expenses, why spend more than you have to? Hi, I'm John David Wells from the Wells Report. Since 1986, AccuQuote has helped hundreds of thousands of folks save a fortune on their life insurance by quickly comparing the rates, features, and financial strength of dozens of top-rated life insurance products right over the phone. Want some examples? A healthy 50-year-old non-smoker can buy a $500,000 10-year level term policy for less than $45 a month. Oh, you say you're 60? No problem. Under $120 a month. 20 or 30 year terms, even permanent plans are available. Okay, so you might have some health problems, huh? Lots of us do, but the experts at AccuQuote will still work with you to find the best affordable policy. To find out how much you can save, call AccuQuote today, 877-439-8830. That's 877-439-8830, 877-439-8830. AccuQuote, call them today.
Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state.
Elizabeth Warren finishing third in last week's Iowa caucuses behind Pete Buttigieg and Bernie Sanders, and polls indicate she might finish in a similar spot in tomorrow's New Hampshire primary. But the senator claims she's ready for a long haul.
I've been to 31 states to do town halls, red states and blue states. We have about 1,000 people on the ground. We've built a campaign to go the distance.
She spoke on ABC's This Week. President Trump will be calling for major cuts to foreign aid and social safety net programs in his administration's new $4.8 trillion budget plan. Officials say the blueprint that's to be unveiled later today will reduce spending on food and housing assistance and Medicaid by $300 billion. A report in the Wall Street Journal claims the Astros sign-stealing scheme was hatched in the front office, an idea that came up from an intern, and it was first used in the 2017 season. And this is USA Radio News.
I find that absolutely comical. Well, it's not really funny. I just don't know how to... You got to laugh so you don't cry is the point, ladies and gentlemen. They're pitching Donald Trump's $4.8 trillion budget as a big-time cutback. I mean, by golly, that guy's saving money hand over fist, lol. The sad part is we're using it for war, sir, and socialism. Flat-out war and socialism is 90% of the budget, buddy.
Well, it's sad to say that most people believe that war is good for the economy. It's like breaking your windows out, Sam, so you can employ the glass cutter, the window repairman, right? I mean, it's foolishness to think that...
Not to mention pay somebody to clean up the glass, sir.
Foolish to think that we can get rich and boom the economy simply by going to war and blowing things up, destroying things. But that's a mistaken notion that way too many people have. So I'm a big fan of this Defend the Guard Act. I think it's an approach that states ought to take. Because if nobody is allowed to go to war, if the National Guard members in the state of Utah, for example, were not permitted to go into a combat zone without a congressional declaration of war, then that would basically force the general government to say, hey, if we don't get a congressional declaration of war, you know, nobody's going to go fight this thing. We better get one if we want to. And that would put the responsibility for a war declaration squarely in the hands of Congress, which is where the framers intended it to be, not in the hands of the president. The Article 2, Section 2 of our Constitution says the president shall be commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy of the United States. So he's given the power to wage war, but he is not given the power to declare war. That responsibility lies squarely on Congress. And if they don't declare war, we should not be going to war. And so, I'm a big fan of this idea, Sam, and hope that our listeners will be too. I think we need to talk to our state reps, our state legislators, let them know that we don't want our men and women going off to combat zones unless Congress has declared war.
Now, understand, ladies and gentlemen, there is a Defend the Guard Act in many, many, many states. They're not quite identical, but they're very similar in nature. And the premise is, hey, the state National Guard will not be used in foreign wars without a declaration of war from Congress. And I support the effort, and a lot of states are debating them. Some states have shut them down already. But this is important to understand. It's not just a Utah discussion, right, Lowell?
That's right. Yeah, Wyoming's bill gets introduced today. West Virginia has been introduced for the past 4 years running, and there are other states. You can go to this website, which I'll mention again, bringourtroopshome.us, and stay up to date with the latest on this effort.
So this might be a weird headline, but we got to defend the Guard Act, folks.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right, man.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious. And I know a lot of times people are just like, oh, man, let's move on to other things. But bringourtroopshome.us would help Donald Trump keep a campaign promise. It would save us literally trillions and trillions of dollars. And it would let us then deploy the proper amount of troops to defend our borders and truly protect our nation for once. Our borders leak like a sieve. At the same time, we gallivant around the globe in nation build. We promote war in the name of peace. We back dictators. Our men and women are in harm's way. All for what? We've been at this my lifetime and more with undeclared wars, spending trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. In the end, I say, what? Do we have more peace? Or do we have more war? And since we've been in some of the longest wars ever in Afghanistan and Iraq to date, the Middle East seems like a hotbed, doesn't seem to be cooling off at all. It's been going on for thousands of years. Donald Trump used to say these are tribal conflicts that we ought to remove ourselves from. Now he's not saying that so much since he's been surrounded by hawkish pro-war leaders. But you know what, folks? We have got to keep an eye on this ball. In my opinion, we got to stop murdering our babies. We got to return to honest money. And we got to stop the military-industrial war mentality. And those things would make the biggest difference if we want to claim the blessings of the Almighty. But you know what? We attacked Donald Trump for legitimate reasons on this. He's got to stand tall. But Donald's done quite a bit and done the best he can. He's been attacked, as you know, over impeachment and everything else for quite some time. But you know what? He's not the first guy to go the rounds of this. There was a president that was expelled from his own party before Trump, Thomas DeLorenzo, with the details, Lowell.
That's right, Sam. And I need to throw in one more thing there before we get to Thomas's Thomas DeLorenzo, and that is people can visit antiwar.com or ronpaulinstitute.org to get the latest on wars going on around the country. I mean, antiwar.com, it has talks about the Syrian army capturing a key town, U.S. warns Israel, U.S. Afghan troops ambushed. I mean, this is a very much up-to-date website, antiwar.com, and also Ron Paul Institute for Peace. Like, they have a headline here, Steps to Nuclear Doomsday, U.S. puts low-yield nukes on submarines in response to made-up Russian escalate to de-escalate strategy by Scott Ritter. I mean, these kinds of articles flood these two websites on a daily basis. There's always something new. I mean, many, many times a day, these sites are updated.
And let me make something very clear. When you say that these websites are flooded with these articles, the concepts and the principles are what's being flooded. The details of each article are very unique, very historically accurate. It is a treasure trove of knowledge. So don't just think, oh, been there once, saw that stuff, same dribble. Not even close. This is a highly educated group of individuals that dig into history, that deliver that history to us in a very unique, meaningful, educational way so that we not only hear the principles over and over and over so that we can learn them and understand them, but then we get the backstory of the founding fathers. We get the clear understanding of why they believed what they did, what situations they were in. History repeats itself. And so this is a treasure trove of opportunity for understanding and to apply the experiences and the circumstances of yesteryear as history repeats itself right now in our day. Lol, this is not yesteryear content. This is fresh, up-to-date, realistic content that is compelling, to say the least.
Yeah, that's right. Turn off this CBS Evening News. Turn off the 10 o'clock news. Don't even go there anymore. Don't listen to what the lamestream media is telling you because they're omitting important facts and information. Go to these websites, this treasure trove of information, to get your news every single day. Antiwar.com, RonPaulInstitute.org, which is the Ron Paul Institute for Peace, right? We're promoting peace here, and in order to do that, we need to understand what's happening in our world around us, and these are two of several websites that do that for us, Sam, and I really encourage our listeners to be familiar with these websites, to go here every day to get the latest and greatest. Ron Paul Liberty Report is another great website. He tackles great topics every single day of the week. Tulsi Gabbard, by the way, was in New Hampshire, and he just did an interview with her a couple of days ago. The primary is tomorrow in New Hampshire, but his conversation with Tulsi is fascinating, folks. You need to go listen to these websites, make it a part of your daily diet. And, you know, they talk about the war with Tulsi. See, I think Tulsi is one of the, I think she's the only candidate for president on the Democrat party who wants to end the war.
And she's a vet too, right?
Yeah, she is.
So I think she gets it a little more than most, by the way.
Boy, does she ever. She says, my brothers and sisters in uniform don't want to be out here. We need to stop this madness. I mean, it's just fascinating to listen to her talk about this, Sam.
Amen to that. This is serious, ladies and gentlemen. Bringthetroopshome.us for commentary and educational material. All right. The president who is expelled from his own party, and you'd think we're talking about the Donald, but no, Thomas Lorenzo highlights our history. Lol.
That's right. It's a great article because it's so appropriate to the current issue of the day, or the big issue that was current last week. I mean, the impeachment of the president and the various things they were saying about Donald Trump. Well, he wasn't the first. It was probably John Tyler, who in the opinion of a gentleman named Ivan Eland, he ranks John Tyler as the best American president of all time, ever. Since 1791, right, to the present day, John Tyler, he believes, is the best president of the United States. Well, what did he do? Well, he made enemies of the collectivists. He made enemies of both parties. It's incredible. John Tyler was a Virginia statesman, just like Thomas Jefferson, who strongly opposed Andrew Jackson's attempt to enforce the Tariff of Abominations of 1828 on South Carolina, among other things. And because of his dislike for Jackson, he left the Democrat Party, joined the Whig Party, which at that time was controlled by Henry Clay, the great collectivist. And then Henry Clay thought, oh, wow, here's our opportunity. We can do some real damage here. And so he pushed through some legislation. And what did Tyler do? He vetoed it, Sam. This is so awesome.
He shut it down. We'll talk about some of the details of what he vetoed in seconds, ladies and gentlemen. Man, we don't have enough time for Lowell today. Hang tight. Maybe we can beg Lowell to stay with us. Hold on. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
All right, we got to get to it in a hurry, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the former president of the United States, Mr. John Tyler. They tried to impeach him, too, and it ultimately failed. Man, history repeats itself, doesn't it? But John Tyler stood up for some very noble, bold, and independent things against the legislative body. Lol, what a hero.
Absolute hero, in my opinion. Two of the big things. One was the National Bank that and the other was the tariffs that the North wanted to impose on the South, basically, to rob them of their property. Well, he vetoed the bank bill. He vetoed the protectionist tariffs. And the tariffs were an obvious plot to plunder the agricultural
sector. Yeah, and by the way, let me be very clear. He wasn't against constitutional tariffs that were across the board. He was interested in this idea that you can't tariff some and not tariff others in an unequal playing field. That's the misuse of government, and he's spot on correct on that. So it isn't tariffs we're rejecting. It's the dishonest, unlevel playing field that was being attempted to create there that's the problem, right?
And those tariffs sometimes were 75%, 80% tariffs at times, Sam, as they were that high. And so it was literally breaking the back of the South. Everybody knew it. And it's just because the Northerners had more people in Congress, they could push that through Congress. But it was absolutely unfair to the states in the South. And Tyler recognized this. John Tyler vetoed that legislation. And so Henry Clay and the Whigs were furious at him. They organized a mob to literally break down the gates to the White House. This is years before the Secret Service came along, by the way. They threw rocks at the White House. They were shouting, you know, big mobs of people out there, shouting a bank, down with the veto, blah, blah, blah. They imposed an early day version of the Guantanamo Bay-style sleep deprivation torture with incessant shouting, pounding on drums, blowing trumpets and horns, firing rifles, you know, blunderbuss, they basically to keep the president awake round the clock, you know, just creating so much noise. They burned him in effigy. They threw the corpse out into the street, expelled him from the Whig Party. Every member of the cabinet except Daniel Webster resigned from the cabinet. I mean, we think today's bad, you know, Trump's head on a severed head held by some movie star, I can't remember who was, or some talk show host or something. I mean, this was done to John Tyler years and years ago. And it's funny, Sam, he was subjected to the articles of impeachment, but those articles, he was accused of, quote, arbitrary and despotic abuse of the veto power, end of quote. So he just vetoes a bill, and he's accused of being arbitrary.
Yeah, the idea then and the idea now is you're not even really allowed to be president.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's their deal. And the bottom line is it ultimately failed, but, history is shockingly and eerily repeating itself right now. And again, I defend Tyler, and I defend Donald Trump, at least on the impeachment issue. Not that I don't think Trump's guilty of crimes. But that I do believe we moved the presidency so far, you can't hold one man responsible. Honest money is one of the points. We're talking about a $4.8 trillion and that's 1 year budget. We wouldn't even be able to do those things and discuss those things if we weren't on the dishonest money plan. But I digress. I just want to tell you that, you know, we got to be very clear about the problems. Without dishonest money, 90% of this wouldn't be happening. You can blame it on the Donald. He should rat out the bankers just like Tyler. Maybe somebody needs to put a little bug in the Donald's ear. Hey, you know what? Go the way of Tyler, buddy. Just shut down the banks. Nevertheless, everyone's a criminal. Not only just Donald, but everybody's a criminal. BreakTheMatrix.com with a piece. Lol.
Well, you probably broke the law today, Sam. And you too, Kurt.
Darn right we did. Don't know what, but we did for sure.
It isn't even 8 o'clock in the morning yet, folks.
Criminal law has exploded in size and scope across the country, folks. It's just true, and this is part of the problem.
That's right, Sam, and there are more than 300,000 congressional and bureaucratic statutes that criminalize certain behavior. 300,000, well over 300,000, Sam. So I'm just telling you that you probably broke the law this morning. Sam did, Kurt did, I did already, not even 8 o'clock. Did you know, Sam, there's a federal prohibition on walking a dog on a leash longer than 6 feet on federal property? It's a jailable offense. You can be hauled in and locked up in a cage, Sam, if you walk your dog on a leash on federal property and that leash is longer than 6 feet long.
Glad I only walked the dog with my yo-yo. You know what I'm talking about?
And what's more striking to me, Sam, is this fact. At the national level, 98% of criminal laws are not even passed by Congress. They're created entirely by unelected bureaucrats who do not have to answer to anybody. And that, Sam, impels me to make two vital points. First, the Constitution says that all legislative powers here in Granite shall be vested in the Congress of the United States. The very first words written into the Constitution, notice those first three words, all legislative powers. In other words, the states did not vest legislative power in the executive branch or in the judicial branch, and they certainly did not vest legislative power in the bureaucratic agencies who are subject to the executive. That's my first point. The second point is that states did not vest in the general government any authority for most of the statutes that Congress has approved. And I would guess 99% of congressional statute is unconstitutional because why? Well, it deals with matters not enumerated in the Constitution. Things like education and health care, marriage, divorce, property rights, and so forth. These matters are reserved to the states and to the people in the states. The general government has zero authority to legislate the length of a dog leash, Sam.
Thank you, Criminal Lulz. Criminal Sam's going to go to Criminal Kurt. Hey, you want to respond to this, Criminal?
I'm guilty of the dog deal. I mean, I've been on federal property. And
I'm not guilty.
You know, that kind of thing.
We ought to just call you away, buddy.
Isn't it amazing?
Big dog to get you out.
I guess the one thing that went through my mind is that it sure is nice to know that at least so far with all the unconstitutional rules that are made by all these unconstitutional agencies, that according to the investigators, for every new one they've gotten, they got rid of 8.5. I mean, it's true. We need to, for every new one, you got to get rid of 1,000, but at least we're heading in the right direction.
Let me tell you Kurt's mentality. They would chop off Kurt's head, and then Kurt would be like, well, he wouldn't be able to talk, but if he could, he'd say this. Well, at least they didn't put it in a blender when they were done. See? That, you know, that's the positive thinking we got going on here on your radio. The sad part is, look, everybody is a criminal, and the sad part is they only apply this selectively as well, lol, so you're not really a criminal if you're like Antifa, but if you stand up for the Constitution, buddy, your goose is cooked.
Good point, Sam. And that's why we need state legislatures with backbone, right? Courage. That's what we need in state legislators, courage to erect barriers against the encroachment of our liberties by the general government. We need legislators with backbone. We need governors with backbone. We need county sheriffs and county clerks who have courage. And we need citizens who understand that the states, which created the general government in the first place, are superior to it. So that the citizenry can and will support these public servants in doing their duty to erect the necessary barriers.
I feel like I'm in the Wizard of Oz a little bit. courage. Right?
Courage.
All right. Breakthematrix.com if you want to learn more about that. Everybody's a criminal. Incredible details there. Criminal law has exploded in size and scope. Everybody is a criminal, sadly, because you know what? You just don't know what unconstitutional edicts. But the truth is, I'm not breaking the law because the supreme law is the law that trumps, pardon the pun, all these edicts from bureaucrats and professional do-gooders. So the truth is, I'm not breaking the law. But in modern day, certainly it could be interpreted that way. And that's why we need courage. And the Utah legislative issues are important to discuss because we've got a 45-day window, and it's going on now, and the abuses, it's a scary time, folks. We're like under siege. That's happening in many states across the country. So don't think this is just a Utah discussion, although Utah is ground zero for our discussion today. But understand that we got to have courageous people stand against the legislators and hold them accountable to the Constitution. Lowell went on site doing just that, sir.
Three legislators visited in our town last Friday night. Damn, at the Highland meeting, Brady Brammer, Kevin Stratton, and Dan Hemmert. And we appreciate their spending their time with us that evening. We had a bunch of people there listening to them and taking and then giving their input on various issues, and of course asking questions. Now, all of them agreed that at any time spent on the Equal Rights Amendment is a waste of time. It's a moot issue because that died decades ago, and it's a bad idea anyway. So they're all agreed there. That's good news. All three said they'd oppose any red flag laws because they believe in due process. That's a win. That's a win, too. Now, oppose any red flag laws. Also, all three of them agreed that the state should not share private data with educational institutions. That's good. Well, it wasn't all good news, however. There was some bad news, and that's this. All three seem to think that federal law trumps state law. Can you believe that, Sam? They think that the federal
Well, that's what most people in the nation wrongly believe, and it's sad, and we've got to double down on the dual sovereignty reality that Richard Mack's Supreme Court case win against Bill Clinton highlighted. That, you know what, there's jurisdictional differences, and the federal government does not trump state law by any stretch of the imagination.
Perfectly on point, Sam. I asked them, how they would, whether they'd support or oppose mandatory vaccination. And the reason I'm saying this question is because some people wonder how they can ask questions of their legislators and get good answers. And so whenever I ask them a question, by good answer, I mean a sincere answer, right? And so when I ask a question, I ask it in a way that they don't know which side of the coin that I'm going to fall on, okay? So I ask, would you support or oppose mandatory vaccination of children who wish to attend public school, right? They don't know whether I support mandatory vaccination or oppose it.
But the principle that you elicit, though, and their understanding of that principle can be applied to a gazillion things as well.
Exactly. And of course, all three answered no, that they believe in parental rights, and so they're not going to oppose. I'm sorry, they're not going to support mandatory vaccination at the state level. I then asked them, would you enforce or oppose a congressional law to that effect? And that's a real killer because then they said, well, we'd have to work with our federal delegation on that matter, Sam. We'd have to talk to...
But now they're seeing the trap laid for them, and they're kind of going, well, wait a minute. And they don't want to go sideways with the feds. They also don't want to answer your question wrong. They know what they already stated, and so they're kind of backpedaling and going, well, we'd have to work through that one. But the truth is they should clearly say, no, I would reject a federal law to do the same thing. If the state doesn't have authority to do it, neither do the feds. There's no constitutional authority for this whatsoever, and I'd reject it in every case. That's what they need to say. The problem is they don't understand the federal versus state issue and the dual sovereignty, and they don't understand where the authority lies, and that's the real core of the issue.
Absolutely. Spot on, Sam. Absolutely right. As you can see, we have a lot of work here in Utah to educate our legislators about federalism and about the proper role of government. And I hope that you, each of our listeners, will do the same in your state. Talk to your legislators about the issues important to you. They need to hear from you. They need to know your name. And we need to do all we can to stop the bad legislation and support the good, Sam.
Amen to that. Thank you so much, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
He always does a phenomenal job. You know what? These people prepare. They are true, honest, hardworking, diligent patriots, and we're grateful for their support, for their efforts, for their friendship, and we're all in this sacred cause together. Donate today, get involved, lovingliberty.net, libertyroundtable.com. This nation shall endure. God save the Republic.